Welcome to Success AF Customer Success Podcast Series. This is JD.
And this is Elena.
In series two of our podcast series, we explore customer success trends and the future of CS. Each episode is a short and insightful discussion or interview. We also apply a global lens and explore cultural nuances that create a unique twist. In this episode, I am very honored to have with us Marluz from Autodesk to join us to discuss how to engage early in the customer lifecycle and its benefits in accelerating value creation for the customer. Remember to subscribe for more Success AF.
Welcome, Marluz. Great to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining. Would you like to tell our guests a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me. So my name is Marluz. I am originally from the Netherlands, but I have been living overseas probably for the past 15 years now. So I spent most of my time in New York. I spent some time in London. And now for the past 5 years, I've been living and working in Singapore. So I've been in customer success probably for the past 12 years or so.
And you're a pioneer.
I hope so. And I actually manage the customer success team for a company that called Autodesk. And I manage the team in India, in ASEAN, and I support Hong Kong and Greater China as well.
Wow, that is quite a scope.
Yes, absolutely. So as you can see, you were talking about different cultures, different nuances, like with my book of business and with my team's book of business, that's definitely happening on a day-to-day basis, which is very positive. And it also brings, you know, sometimes some of the challenges with it.
Yeah, it keeps things interesting, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I hear you have a new puppy, which is also keeping things interesting.
Yes. My husband and I finally gave in to a COVID puppy, like probably many of your listeners globally and in Singapore and ASEAN. So we have a 10-week-old puppy now.
His
name is Dave. That's been challenging. So probably every single night around 8 p.m., like my husband and I are totally wiped out because of, you know, the early rises, the crying at night, the picking up poo and pee through the house the entire day because it's definitely not potty trained yet. So yes, it will be a challenging way forward, but then again, it gives you a lot of love.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Unconditional love, yeah. So yeah, you know, moving on to talking about the value of customer lifecycle engagement today, I really appreciate what you're about to bring to the table and all the insights, because I think Elena and myself, we've never had an opportunity of having a formalized process and structure in engaging in the customer life cycle early, specifically in the pre-sales cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So could you tell us about how and when your success engagements begin in the customer life cycle, and how did this approach arise?
Yeah, so to tell you a little bit more about the customers and the department I work in together with my team. So we cover mainly the named accounts within Autodesk. So it's all the larger EBA enterprise business accounts within Autodesk, and they have a 3-year contract. So we are really trying to drive value through the execution of a customer success plan over a period of 3 years. So these customers are quite strategic, and every time when we are coming towards a renewal, we would really like to start engaging the customer probably, I would say, 6 to 8 months, sometimes even sooner, depending on how big the renewal will be. And this is where customer success managers will work very closely together with the account executives, will work closely together with the tech SEs, really to gather the information that goes into a customer success plan. So how do we start creating this customer success plan is through workshops. So I don't know if you're familiar with Mural and with Luma. So Mural is a very, very good platform to use to do remote sessions and really get the customer engaged and involved into the workshop. So a good example is one of our customers is actually coming up for renewal in January. And right now we've already delivered three different workshops. So for each region, for the APAC region, for the EMEA region, and for the Americas region. So we've delivered three different workshops where we've gathered feedback from each region from the customer. And this feedback is all around what are some of the challenges that you are facing? What are some of the successes that we had and that are working well? What are some of the things that are not working well? And especially talking about, you know, the previous EBA agreement. And then we're really trying to map this out in terms of what is actually these top 10 either challenges or also what are these couple of things that you really like to work on that will help you as a company go to the next level. And we're not talking about a nice to have, nice to do kind of project, but what can we do or what can you do really to scale your business? Customer business initiatives, we call them, like goals. Like what do you want to achieve as a customer over a period of 3 years? And then we also put that in a matrix in terms of like, okay, what's actually urgent? What can wait? And also some things like what is actually very easy to do and what are some initiatives that are very complex. So this is really how we start the early engagement. And it's not just the customer success managers will run these workshops, it's really customer success managers with the tech SE, with the account executive. But then when we talk about the commercial aspect, so really talking about pricing, that's where the account executive, together with the tech SE, will really drive those conversations.
Wow, sounds like a very structured and aligned account team on the initiatives to engage with the customer. So another thought I had when I was actually discussing with Elena yesterday was, how did this kind of formalized structure actually arise? Because in our organizations, we have informal conversations on the early engagement cycle, but how did it eventually become a thing in your organization? Do you know the history behind it?
I don't know the full history behind it because I've been with Autodesk now for a little bit over 3 years, but I definitely have seen a little bit of trial and error as well. And as you probably know, while working in APAC yourself, we're quite a small team here. So we're quite flexible in terms of having more innovative ideas that we can kick off faster, or we can trial something, like even in terms of certain platforms, like we're trialing some platforms where we can really lock value. So this is where we are looking as an APAC team, like, is this working, yes or no, for the region? And if this is working, how can we actually scale this further to include the Americas and EMEA as well? So how this has started, I would say it's really getting the team closer together to see how can we make sure that the account executive and the tech SE and the DSS, the designated support manager, and the customer success manager really work together as one team. So from my personal experience and what I've seen while working for Autodesk and other companies as well, is really a high performing team is a team who collaborate well, who work as one team, but also see like the strengths and weaknesses from each individual. So that is something that Autodesk has been working on a lot. So we've all done a test called Berkman. It's kind of like this psychometric test where you can really see like, okay, this individual is actually very good with numbers, or this individual is actually highly active, for example. So how can we become a more high-performing team with all the different individuals that are working on one account? Because we have so many people working on these large accounts. Sometimes it's really 20, 30 people who are working on one account on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And something else we've done as well, and this is a little bit trial and error again. So we started with Salesforce. So account executive, we're working in Salesforce, mm-hmm. logging all their opportunities. Tech SEs, we're creating the customer success plans in an Excel form. Then customer success was in Gainsight. Then consulting and project managers were in Confluent. So what was really transforming the way we're working, and we are all working right now in Salesforce. So the team has been working together with the Salesforce team to create a platform that we call the customer planning platform. And this is where the whole team can really hold each other accountable. So the tech SEs will put in their expansion opportunities. What are some of the goals and the entire customer success plan? But then the designated support manager, the consultants, the customer success manager really execute on the customer success plan in that portal. So when we do, for example, account reviews, or when we do operational reviews, so these are internally, we are able to go to one platform and we can hold everybody accountable. So we can say like, okay, pull up your expansion plan. What are some of the expansion opportunities that we have in there? Pull up some of the initiatives and how far are we in terms of milestones? What have we achieved? What do we need to do next, etc. So it's really a programmatic way of working, I would say.
And one overarching takeaway I have from what you've said is partnership and collaboration, both internally and with the customer. That's just so powerful. So just to kind of double click on part of that. So, you know, you've given us a feel for the renewal cycle. I'm imagining that's fairly similar in the pre-sales cycle. How do you differentiate, or what is the role of customer success during implementation and onboarding? Like, what boundaries have you defined?
So during onboarding, that really depends again. So actually the customer success manager is responsible to start the onboarding. And I think this ties back into, again, is having that customer success plan in place, making sure that it's validated by the customer, making sure that each initiative has an owner on the customer side to make sure that on day one of the renewal or on day one of a new contract, a customer success manager can straight away go into execution mode. Now, this is, of course, in a perfect world, so it doesn't always work like that, trust me, but a customer success manager will really kickstart with the onboarding pretty much from day one. So really making sure that customers and not only the leadership team that we mainly have been speaking to, but also the project managers, also the engineers, also the consultants. So the entire business is actually aware of, okay, this is what the Autodesk Enterprise Business Agreement actually entails. This is what the company wants to do in terms of what they want to achieve over a period of 3 years. This is how you can get 24-hour support. This is how you log cases. So it's really the responsibility of the customer success manager to kickstart that onboarding as soon as possible. In terms of your question around implementation services, so that as well ties into the customer success plan. So if that customer success plan is defined well, the customer success manager. I would like to say, like, the customer success manager is in the middle. If you have like a circle, it's in the middle. The customer success manager is the one who is really responsible for executing on the customer success plan and really driving outcomes through that engagement. But then when there is an initiative that needs to be executed and they need consulting services, the customer success manager will license with the project manager and then license again with the consultant. Let's say they will need a very technical supported demo. The customer success manager will bring in the tech SE who will do that demo. Let's say there is an expansion opportunity that actually need to be scoped that's outside of the customer success plan. The customer success manager will bring in the account executive or the tech SE as well.
Right, so the CSM is really the glue that is bringing everything together right from the pre-sales contract cycle, and everything's all set, ready to go, and defined from day one.
Yes, yes.
That is amazing.
So a very interesting view that I think we all are aligned to. We all believe that the CSM is kind of the glue or the gel that brings together and provides whatever resources that the customer actually requires in their life cycle. But in terms of that early engagement, we were also talking about the value of this early engagement versus post-implementation or later lifecycle engagement. Where do you see the differences in the value in the stages where the CSM actually engages in the lifecycle?
I would say it's so important for a customer success manager to be introduced probably sooner than later. So I would personally say that there's not necessarily a challenge of having the customer success manager start early in the lifecycle engagement. I do believe that if a customer success manager is introduced at a later stage or gets involved at a later stage, or maybe even straight away at the beginning when a customer has signed that contract and it's passed on by an account executive, that's where I see the challenge, because the customer is most of the time then not aware who the customer success manager is. A lot of customers actually don't know yet what customer success is. And a lot of customers actually don't know, like, you know, how can we really get value? And what is value? What is value for me when a consultant come in and I just spent X amount of money on these consultants to really drive this digital transformation plan, for example? So what we want to do, and this is not something that only the customer success manager does, but we do that as an entire team to really, again, look at what are some of the goals that a customer wants to achieve? What are some of the outcomes that a customer wants to achieve? But then as well, like, if we are able to define, and it's definitely not an easy thing, but what if we're able to define the value and really measure value in terms of, if you do this, we are able to give you X amount of value in terms of dollars, or you will become X amount of more efficient. But we don't want to tell them that as Autodesk. We want to support the customer in asking the right questions. So what we have been doing over the past couple of years is really try to change the conversation from not a product conversation, but really to a capabilities conversation. Yeah. So what capabilities do you currently have, but you still want to improve to become more efficient or to make more money or whatsoever? Or what are the capabilities actually that you currently don't have at all? Like, you want to kick off this massive project. You want to build a school, for example, or you want to build an airport here in Singapore. So what are the capabilities that you don't have, but that you need to make that a successful project? And that's where we come in to really support the customer in terms of what are we able to do, but what outcomes are we able to drive? Like, what are the capabilities and how are those capabilities aligned to outcomes? And then again, like, what value are we driving to the customer? So I don't think there are any challenges with having a customer success manager or anybody for that matter getting introduced sooner than later.
Right. And I think we're very clear about that. I really like that part where we define the role and explain to the customer where the value comes from. Because rightly said, many customers do not yet know what a customer success manager does. Even though, you know, Marloes, like you said, you've been doing this for 12 years. It is still a fairly new industry and fairly new role. So many of our customers are not too sure where the value is. And you said that there were no challenges due to early engagement, but do you have anything to add on to that? Do you see other gaps that we could fill in terms of engaging early with the customer?
So I really think that change management is not something that we only deal with, like within Autodesk or within your company or Elena's company. It's really also on the customer side. So I've done a change management ProSci course a couple of weeks ago, and you see the importance as well from really having the success in the middle, but also building that coalition team. And building that coalition team on the customer end. Like, who is the one who's going to take responsibility for either this project or the customer success plan, or even if you think about the renewal, because it's really your customers who will need to drive this. Your customers have to buy in and really drive the engagement. We are only there to support, and we have the tools and we have the insights, but the customer really needs to take ownership. And then as well, what I see as a, not necessarily as a challenge, but what I see, what doesn't happen very often is that, first of all, the coalition team is not necessarily built. Maybe you have one stakeholder who is very positive and he or she is all in, but then maybe the person underneath him or her, or maybe the person on the right or the left, they're actually not bought in at all. So how are you able, or how is the customer able to, first of all, create awareness in terms of a digital transformation that they might be going through, or the value that we're looking, or some of the goals that the company is looking to achieve in the next 3 years? Like, you really need to have the buy-in from bottom up as well. So I think that change management, the communication internally, but as well, when you're doing a project, and everything can be kind of seen as a project, in my opinion, mm-hmm. How are you able to track that? So you have to be able, and you have to kind of like track every milestone, like, okay, the first 3 months, have we been successful with what we said that we wanted to do in terms of on the customer side? Yes or no? Has everybody bought in? Are there people who are not engaging, for example? Do we need to escalate it, higher up or something like that? So really having that coalition and having that communication in terms of what the customer is actually trying to achieve, I think that's very important. And I don't see that happen that often. Like, you have a couple of people who are bought in, but you hardly ever have everybody bought in, which is a challenge.
I can certainly see, though, how that early engagement would set the tone and support change management throughout the contract life cycle. So actually, that's a brilliant point as well. So thank you very much, Marloes. It's been a really interesting discussion today and earlier. So if I want to summarize just kind of three key takeaways insofar as early engagement, the value and the traction you get in terms of that early buy-in mm-hmm. on the customer success plan throughout the customer life cycle, with ownership from top down as well as bottom up. Change management is fundamental to achieving outcomes across the board. And you talked a lot about defining value and the subsequent time to value realization in terms of helping customers to see that value more immediately and have more tangible outcomes. So thank you, Marlos, again. Thank you, listeners, for joining in. Please do send us your feedback. It's always welcome. Let us know any future topics of interest or if you would like to join us. And remember, like or follow Success AF on your favorite podcast platform.